Okay, to be added to Brahmacharya. I just met, well, a young Brahmachari, fired up, going out there with books, preaching. The other day, and he said Hare Krishna, and he, because we're neighbors, he knows me, so he said, I got some prasadam for you. And he took a prasadam he had wrapped in a little package, and I said thank you. And then he said, and I ask for donations. I said, well, you know, I also ask for donations for Radio Krishna I'm running. So maybe you can give me a donation and I give you a donation. But no. It wasn't like that. It was going to be, he was going to have a donation because he's a brahmachari and his service is to beg. And he begged for a donation so he could take the subway, which I could have helped him with, as you help your fellow beings. But well, he didn't have a switch and I didn't have cash, so. But then, I came back to Brahmakund where I live and spoke to other devotees, tenants here. I know older devotees who have been doing service for Krishna so much, so many years, and who are now living high rent and a low pension, just as I do. Being a pensioner myself. So he said, that other devotee, that yes, this young brahmachari has been begging from us too. And there was one elderly lady devotee who even called him about this, and you know, he's asking me for donations and I don't know what to do. Because devotees, they feel also kind of obliged. You know, here is a young monk begging. So anyway, at the same time I felt, and I didn't actually go around begging from other devotees. I felt, even when I was a brahmachari, because the other devotees, and ISKCON devotees, they were, I mean, had given their lives to Krishna and didn't have anything. I mean, even if you were a family, and it didn't mean you were rich. Often it meant the opposite. You really had to struggle financially. So I never liked that. But, and yes, I felt a bit uneasy. You come to Mayapur and devotees are just donation from each other for me. My project is so good. Well, most of us serve the project. So yeah, anyway, then I met this young guy just half an hour ago on my way from the subway. And we started talking a little bit again. So I, being kind of straightforward, told him, I'm going to tell you something straightforward. And I politely, I think, mentioned that there are especially elderly devotees in this house here. I mean, it's a devotee house. Who feel uneasy about this. And I never considered it. Proper and polite, and I would say proper Vaishnava etiquette to do that. Then he, and there it got interesting because I remembered the mood and the attitude that we brahmacharis used to have in the old days, and I thought that was gone now. But here it was like seeing a version of myself when I was like 25, young brahmachari. Few years thinking I'm a great spiritualist here. He started getting more and more insistent, heavily, in the end, that he had the right it was proper, it was the principle that he should ask us for donations. Everyone. And he even said, otherwise, how am I going to associate with you here in this house? Which then, of course, drifted into that I'm a brahmachari, you know. I am the real devotee, the fight up, and then you old timers here living in this house with hair on your head and karmic clothes and all that, you're not really into it much anymore, aren't you? Are you? So I'm here to help you by taking donations from you. This way you can serve the Sankirtan movement. He didn't say that, but I know that this is the attitude that we had back then, and I found it there too, implicitly, because, well, that's my way of associating with you. But, and I started referring to the Gita and other places, that there is something called Vaishnava behavior, that a Vaishnava should rather be a friend of other Vaishnavas and respect other Vaishnavas, not look down on them, thinking himself more advanced, something along that line. And then he looked at me and he just challenged. And that's why I understood. I mean, it sounded like that old-fashioned brahmachari ki jai. He just looked at me with a stern look, as if challenging me. That useless old 70-year-old man who used to be a devotee once. I mean, it looked like he saw me that way. And Well, you know, I have nothing to defend in that aspect. But, and then he asked, are you serious about spiritual life? So, you know, it's none of your business. My spiritual life is between me and Krishna. I don't need to stand here and defend myself to you. Why should I? But he insisted and insisted and insisted. And finally, I took up my heavy hammer and told him some words. Because he just stood up against Priyavrata Das, who can be a bit heavy sometimes, telling him that the truth that actually devotees here, they found him. That's what they told me. Impolite and behaving bad toward other devotees. And he didn't hear that. So anyway, the reason I'm telling you this story is that there is Brahmacharya and there is Brahmacharya. And what I'm going to talk about here today is not that kind of Brahmacharya. The young neophyte, cocky, proud attitude. And I told him before, I just turned away and walked away, that you have to understand the Vaishnava qualities of respecting others, being a friend, Sarudha Sarvabhutanam, a friend of everyone, and especially towards other devotees. And if you can't understand that, then you're going out here preaching, but you won't be so successful in that preaching. And that's what I'm saying now also, that we should never forget, we should keep them in center, those Vaishnava qualities, and how to, and when we say respect other Vaishnavas, respect other devotees, it doesn't just mean to respect the big, advanced, fired up, the ones in saffron, the ones with a title and all of that, or a position, who are famous and everyone adores that person. But the, and who are in control of the men and the money. But to learn to respect, and I would say even first, look the other direction, those who stand and wash the pots and cut the vegetables and do these simple services, but have been doing such services for decades, who gave their lives to Prabhupada's movement, and then doing such simple services, sometimes being treated very respectlessly by the big ones. Not even having a home or money, and when they, some dying alone in some old age home. I mean, when that's happened a few times, it really gave me something to think of. This devotee there, who had a big position, now I'm getting sensitive here, but dies in a temple like a sadhu, other devotees around and helping for the last days and the last moments, that beautiful, nice devotee to, you know, remember Krishna and it's all auspicious and chanting in his her ear. And then you have this other devotee who was never a book distributor or a temple president or a Swami or big brahmacharya or anything like that. Just one of those hidden heroes that I call them. And many of those devotees, they, first of all, we all did back then. We gave our lives to the Krishna conscious movement, to Prabhupada's mission. So I'm mainly talking about those that I know from those days. I don't know how it is now. But we should remember those devotees who are many, most still around, giving the best of their years, their lives to ISKCON, serving menial, humble services. There were devotees who were just cleaning floors all the time, almost. Others were just going out collecting money, selling fake Hong Kong paintings, cheap ones, expensive, and all these sacrifices. And they are now, where are they? And when they leave this world, who's going to be where they're with them? Forgotten. In the Vaishnava community. Well, not actually, because here we know each other, but we should be careful about that. So that's what I'm saying. That's first of all what a brahmachari should learn. Not that here I am, big, fired up, fixed up, austere brahmachari, just look at me and look at my dress, you know, I'm a real devotee, and look at my haircut. And look, I'm going out here and I'm distributing books, you know. That's the advanced level. And I could have told him, yes, I think I sold about 20,000 books in my life, Prabhupada's books, and I translated, I think, 4 cantos or something of the Swedish Srimad Bhagavatam. I started and managed the Krishna's Vaidhan News, the magazine here, which had like 14,000 subscribers and 40,000 copies printed and distributed every second month. I was a temple president, I was a Sankirtan leader in Denmark and Sweden, and I was in charge of Radio Krishna in Stockholm. I made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of radio programs that you can now find in radio-krishna.se. I was the project manager for the exhibitions of the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. I'm right now writing a book about that. I'm still doing my Radio Krishna every week. I had a family and raised 2 sons. I think I did a responsible job as a father, including bringing in an income, and so on. This is basically my life. And here I am today, and I have none else to depend on than Krishna. Just constantly praying, chanting, and I'm happy with my life. It's nice to be old. And if you ask me, what's your ashram or whatever, I would say I'm some kind of kshetra sannyasi. I'm just staying here now, and I sold my car, and I'm just satisfied being here and doing my service. And if you want to know more about my service, then just get in touch with me and I will tell you. Well, I could have answered all of that when I was asked there on the street if I am still into spiritual life, but why should I? why should we challenge each other in that way? That now you have to defend yourself and come up and answer my question. What are you doing that is spiritual? This is not a nice attitude. So we will now, I will leave that, but I thought it's a point that is important and should be made. Because let's talk about real brahmacharya. The way, well, I see it now and I think that it makes pretty much sense. And of course, there are many brahmacharis who actually take it that way. But then maybe not. So let's get going.